this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
See, I am doing a new thing. Somebody say new thing. Now it springs up. Somebody say now. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it, he asked. I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. This is our final in the series, Unstuck. Moving on from the past, stepping out of the present, and boldly making a move to become unstuck. And not just become unstuck, to stay unstuck in Jesus' name. You may be seated in the house of God. Not going to recap much tonight because I want to get through everything that God has given me for this series. But we left literally off of this statement last week. Being stuck is faithful to the wrong thing. And each passing moment, you are building momentum to stay stuck. This is insanity. The moment that you feel your feet become heavy and that you are becoming stuck in a place, whether it is a physical place, a mental place, your mental state has stagnated, or perhaps your spiritual growth has stagnated or stalemated, and you find yourself becoming stuck, it is in that moment that you should start fighting with all of your faith to make sure that you keep forward momentum in Jesus' name. You don't have to run 10 miles a day, but I do think that it is God's will for us to be a little further every day when we go to sleep than when we woke up. Some days you're going to cover 100 yards, but some days it is all you can do to move 2, 3, 4 inches ahead. But let me tell you, if you move 3 or 4 inches ahead every day of your life, you are going to gain considerable ground and you are going to become what God has called you to be. So it is insanity to stay stuck or to be faithful in the wrong thing over and over again. But being free is faithful to the right thing. Most importantly, not a thing, a person, his name is Jesus. Being free is faithful to Jesus, and each passing moment, you are building momentum to stay free. There that phrase is again. That's not insanity. That is powerful. Can I encourage you that every Wednesday night you show up, you are making an effort to stay free. Every prayer that you and I pray, we are making an effort to stay free. Every time you worship through the pain, you are making an effort to stay free. Every time you give and you tithe and you serve, you are making the effort to stay free. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Don't know if I've ever preached from this text. Bishop has many times, but I'm going to jump in tonight. Luke 18, verse 1, this is Jesus talking with his disciples. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray. Somebody say always pray. You know what always means in the Greek? Always. You know what it means in Hebrew? Always. Always pray. That means there should never go a day where you don't pray. Whether good, bad, indifferent, we should be living a life of prayer. Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. I could preach on those two phrases from the mouth of Jesus to his disciples for the rest of the night. Always pray and do not give up. Well, how are we going to make it through this? By always praying and never giving up. Can I tell you that a lot of preachers like to make things more difficult because it makes them feel better and look better in front of their congregation? But it is this simple. If you pray all the time and you don't give up, the devil cannot win in your life. That means on Sundays, but that also means on Tuesdays. That means on Thursdays. That means when everything is going right and everything is not going right. What are you going to do today? I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to give up. There's two things that I'm going to do every day for the rest of my life. I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to give up. What happens if cancer shows up? I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to give up. What happens if this breaks out in your family? I'm going to pray, and I'm not going to give up. What happens if so-and-so's elected? Oh, my life is so much bigger than so-and-so not being elected or being elected. I'm going to continue to pray and not give up. I shared last week about the man who told me that he thought that continual prayer for a specific need is a lack of faith. He said, you should just pray about it once and leave it alone. praying for it once and leaving it in God's hands. He said, that's real faith. But to pray about it every day and every time you hit your knees and you go to the altar over and over again for the same thing, that is a lack of faith. But I would argue the point that praying only once is a lack of faith. But continually petitioning God, saying, God, it hasn't happened in the physical yet, but I know that you've already done it, God. And so I'm loosing on earth what has already been loosed in heaven. God, I'm here not to remind you of my need. I'm here to let you know that I'm still believing in faith. I'm still hoping against hope. I'm still standing strong in the face of adversity and negativity. Everybody else has stopped, but I don't stop. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. Does that mean that you quit your job and spend your whole time praying? Why do you have to quit something to start praying? You can pray at your job. You can pray at your school. You can pray in the courtroom. You can pray in the hospital room. You can pray in your bedroom. You can pray in the shower. You can pray in the car. Wherever you are, there's where prayer is. And it doesn't mean 24 hours, 7 days a week. But like David said about praise, he said 7 times a day. That's every 3.5 hours he would stop to give praise unto God. I'm here to tell you, you don't have to stop moving your feet to pray. On your way in to your job tomorrow, the 100 steps from your car to the elevator, you can be saying, God, I pray that you'd bless this day. Put people in front of me that need to hear your word, God. Put people around me that need to experience your spirit, God. I pray for favor, God. Let no disease come unto me or my house, God. I pray that you touch my boss. I pray that I would be the epicenter for revival for this floor, for this location, whatever it is. You don't have to stop moving to pray. Prayer is not a posture of your body, it's a posture of your heart. Doesn't mean that you've got to be in this altar. Doesn't mean that you have to be on your knees at the side of your bed. You can pray at all times. Pray without ceasing. 4 reasons we don't pray. Number one, what we pray for, is not that important to us. Because if it was important, you would pray. Am I right? Because when it's your problem, you start praying. But suddenly when it's my problem, you don't mind stretching your hand forward on a Sunday and praying, but you ain't rolling out of bed Monday praying. But when it's your problem, why isn't everybody else praying? Because it's important to you. It's not that important to them. I want to encourage you. I don't pray about things that are frivolous. I don't pray about things that are little. I don't pray about things that are little in my eyes. I pray about the important things. God, this is important to me, and so I'm going to continually pray to you. You say, what does this have to do with being stuck or unstuck? It has everything to do, because if you pray, you are not going to get stuck, stay stuck, or go backwards. You are going to remain free. Second reason we don't pray, we don't think God can hear us. Why do you think God can hear you on Wednesday night, but he can't hear you on Thursday? So I believe he can hear me. No, you don't, because you wouldn't talk about what you talk about at your job if you thought God was really listening. You think God just turns on his hearing aid for our prayers and then turns it off when we're being negative, when we're using his name in vain, when we're dropping F-bombs, when we're gossiping, when we're talking all the mess that people talk about? Let me tell you something. When you pray to God, God hears your prayer. But when you complain, God hears that too. And you can't be blessed and you can't have a miracle come to you if you are praying in one breath and cussing in the next. Third reason, we do not think God can do it. If we really thought God could move the mountain that we were facing, if we really thought God could unstick us from our situation, we would spend more time in prayer. God, not only can you hear me, I believe, God, that you can do it. Finally, some of us don't pray because we don't think that God will do it. The only thing that you have to have to be heard from God is a breath in your lungs. When you pray the prayer of salvation, God now will answer every prayer according to his word, according to his written word, and according to what the Holy Spirit has promised you. Make sure it is the Holy Spirit and not a hokey spirit. Make sure that you're praying his will and not your will. I've had to backtrack on some prayers that God has convicted me on because I was praying my will and not his will. Not only do I know God hears me, I believe God can do it. But the Word of God tells me that God will do it. And so one of the ways that I stay unstuck is I live a life of prayer. Again, that doesn't mean that 24 hours, 7 days a week I'm praying, but it means about 25, 30 times a day I'm talking to God. Sometimes those are 25-minute conversations. Sometimes those are 3-minute conversations. But the conversation is always there. The lines of communication are always open. Simply put, when I'm feeling stuck, I pray. So this is what Jesus said to his disciples. He said, I want you to pray always and do not give up. Verse 2. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. He didn't fear God and didn't care what people thought. That's a bad judge, when they don't fear God and they don't care what people think. But there was a widow in town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. She says, there's something happening in my life that is trying to take me back, is trying to stick me in the place that I am today, and I don't want to stay here. Judge, you are the only one that can grant me justice, and so please grant me. The Bible says she kept coming. Verse 4, for some time he refused. Have you ever been told no? One no is bad. But when you keep getting rejected by the same person with the same request, it's annoying, it's frustrating. And the Bible says, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God, this should bless somebody that's got a heathen boss. This should bless somebody that's got a heathen coach, got a heathen teacher. This should bless somebody that's got heathens in your family. Because you say, well, I wish that they were Christian, because if they're Christian, they would act better. Oh, they don't even have to be Christian to act better. God can make them do what God wants them to do in your life. He can use them as a vessel and a conduit. Bishop preached a message many years ago, talked about 15 minutes of favor. I don't need it forever. I just need that heathen to give me 15 minutes of a yes, and that yes is going to open the floodgates for God to do something great. Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, verse 5, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so she won't eventually come and attack me. Repetition, repetitious faith, doing the right thing, the same thing over and over, doing the right thing over and over makes us righteous. Doing the right thing over and over in faith makes us full of faith, faithful. And this is what the word says, that repetition works even on people. Verse 6, and Jesus said, listen to what the unjust judge said. And will not God bring about justice for his children? Jesus said, if an unjust, worldly, heathen, non-spirit-filled, non-conforming, non-transformed, non-believing, if that judge will answer your request just because you keep asking it over and over and over and you will not stop praying and you will not give up. He said, if an unjust judge is like that, he said, would me as God turn you away in your repetition of prayer and faith? And so I say that to say this, church. If you've been praying a prayer all year, keep praying the prayer. If you've been standing on a promise all year, keep standing on the promise. Because if a just, unjust judge can bless you and give you favor and make your request known and fulfill it, then how much more to a God that loves us, that created us, that gave his only son for us? Jesus said, will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? Many are called, few are chosen. What separates the called and the chosen? Repetitious faith. Not being stuck, but keep on. Being faithful to the right one, faithful to the right thing. Justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night. Will he keep putting them off? That prayer cannot just be a Sunday prayer. If it's important to you, it should be a Monday prayer. In the morning, It should be all it don't take but another 15 seconds when you're praying over your food to put that request out there again. You say, well, I don't want to just keep, oh, no, you need to keep doing that. You need to keep bringing it up in faith and saying, God, it's still in your hands. God, I laid that thing on the altar, but now, God, I'm covering it with faith, God. I'm fertilizing it with faith. I'm watering it with your word, God. I know that you hear me, God, and I'm crying out to you day and night. And he said, will he keep putting them off? I tell you, this is coming straight from Jesus. Verse 8, he will see that they get justice and quickly. That blesses me. And quickly. Pray it on a Wednesday night, get it on a Wednesday night. Pray it on a Thursday, get it on a Thursday. Pray it in October, get it in October. He said, don't you know that when you pray it, I will not hold it? God will give it to you. He will give it to you quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He switches from prayer to faith because it can't be a religious ritual. See, this is where you have to divide the word of truth and work it out through the Spirit, because the Bible tells us not to pray in vain repetition. Well, wait a minute. You just said to pray over. Oh, yeah, you have to pray over it in faith. It can't just be something that you've memorized, that you just go down the list and you've memorized it. And that's where it becomes repetitious in vain. But when you start covering it in God, that prodigal son, God, I send God your word right now to him. God, I pray against every enemy that would try to attach itself to him. I declare that in October, he's coming home in the name of Jesus. And when he comes home, he's coming with the right mind, God. He's coming, God, knowing that you've offered grace and mercy, God. He's coming full of faith, God. He's coming full of worship. He's coming. And then the next day you pray, it's not that exact prayer. It's, God, I pray for that prodigal son today, God. I know, God, that right now you are working in his mind, God. You are sending people, God, to plant and water the seed, God, that is going to cause him to come to himself, to come home. It's the same request, but it's not a vain repetition. God, you called us to be more than a conqueror. He is not more than a conqueror yet, but right now, God, he is conquering every demon, every devil, every strategy, everything that has risen up against him. Same request, but I'm coming at it not with vain repetition. I'm attacking it with the word. I'm attacking it with what the Spirit gives me in those moments. Jesus was talking about the unstuck people with a repetitive prayer and repetitive faith. I pray when I am stuck, and you should too. I pray when I'm feeling stuck, and you should too. Are you stuck in your walk with God? Devotion and communion with God must become repetitious. Are you stuck when it comes to hearing God? Then prayer must become repetitious. Are you stuck at a crossroads and you need direction? Then the Holy Spirit that brings conviction and confirmation must become repetitious. That is one of the reasons why Paul, in writing one of his letters, talked to believers and said, I pray in tongues in the Holy Spirit more than you all. What he's really saying is the reason you're having the problems you're having is the Holy Spirit is a party trick, and it's not repetition. Every letter Paul wrote was because the church was having a problem. They were not proactive letters. They were reactive letters to fix a problem in their life. Can I tell you that most of Brandon's problems are not because of outward forces? It is because I do not do what God has called me to do 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And do you like how I said Brandon and not you? But a lot of you are in the same boat. Most of our issues are not because the devil's been attacking us all day long. It's simply because we get tired of doing the right thing, the same thing, the faith thing, every day and all day of our lives. But I'm here for all of it. That's what I want. I want all the smoke. God, if I'm messed up, get me in the right mind. God, if I'm out of line, whip me back into shape, God. My family, my marriage, my money, my ministry, my mind. God, if there's anything, God, I want to do the right thing, but God, it's going to take me doing the right thing over and over and over again. If you're stuck, I'm sorry, if you're not growing in faith anymore, then the word of God must become repetition. Are you feeling disconnected and alone? Then church attendance must become repetitious. Let me pastor you just for a second. One of the things that I would encourage you not to tell me is that I can't make friends at Living Way. Number one, this is not kindergarten. The Bible says, to make friends, you must show yourself friendly. And so if you can't make friends at Living Way, I don't know where you're going to make friends. And we don't have social mixers here. We don't have an under 30 group where you can find your husband. That's what most singles groups are. I want to encourage you, if you want friends that are godly, join a ministry. Automatically, you join the TV ministry, you start running one of these cameras, boom, you're already a part of a family of 12 or 15. You join the usher team, you're a family of 25 or 30. You join this worship team, you're a family of 7 or 8 people that have a common interest that you do. And then as you do that over and over again, but showing up once every 2 months, you're not going to make any friends. We don't even remember your name. Repetitious, over and over and over. If I'm feeling disconnected from the church, I'm going to keep coming to church. If I need to make friends, I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to sit with people that know how to have church. Come on now. I'm going to sit next to people that are not on Snapchat all service, but got their Bible app open, got a Bible, got a journal, and they're writing down notes. I'm talking about if you feel disconnected, don't leave. Why? Because the disconnection is going to follow you somewhere else. Stay right here. Plant yourself. Show yourself friendly. Join a team. Join a ministry. Come every time the doors are open. Show up at Fall Fest. Show up at Live on Friday night. You're going to get some friends. Are you having financial issues? Tithing must become repetition. Can't be just here and there. And when I have it, when I have some left over, it's got to become repetitious. In my last 2 minutes, when we find ourselves stuck in any area of our life, this is some practical teaching now. When we find ourselves stuck in any area of life, we must do the opposite of what we did to get stuck, to get unstuck. Some of us are stuck in sin tonight. And the thing about sin is when you're stuck in sin, the end is not good for you. Because if you're stuck in sin, that means that you are dealing with unrepented sin. Because you can't be stuck in something that God has already got you out of. So if you're stuck in sin today, you've got to say yes to Jesus. And it can't just be a yes because you're here on a Wednesday night and you kind of feel like it. And maybe I should, and you know, my girlfriend's been putting pressure on me, or my wife's been telling me that. None of that. It's got to be, I know I have a sin problem. I know that sin problem separates me from Jesus. I know there's an eternity that waits for me, and I want to make sure that I'm not separated from Jesus, not only on this earth, but for eternity. So if you're stuck in sin, you now must do anything and everything that connects you to God. The good news is this, you're not alone. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The difference between most of us on a Wednesday night is that we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and now we don't have a sin problem. We have received salvation, and that sin was Jesus's problem 2,000 years ago. But guess what? Sin is not even his problem anymore because he bled for us. And I love a worship team that can blend 2022 music with those old hymns. And when we started talking about the blood of Jesus tonight, I was reminded on a night that we're not taking communion. I remembered on a night that when I was stuck in my sin, Jesus said, I'm going to bleed for you so that you don't have to stay stuck, but that you can get saved and have a way out. Some of us are stuck in religion. And I know that it's become cute, and I've said it before, to say that it's not about religion, it's about a relationship. But there is some good religion that the Bible talks about. In James chapter 1, verse 26, it says, those who consider themselves religious, but yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. But this is what verse 27 says, good religion. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by God, polluted by the world. I was talking to Mandy the other day, and she said, what most people, she said, and let me tell you, Mandy is a lot more savage behind the scenes than she is when a microphone's in her hand. You get the cleaned up version of Mandy, and I think my savagery has jumped on her in the last 20 years. And we were just talking about the role of the church in society. And she quoted this verse without telling me it was in James chapter 1. And she said, you know, the Bible teaches that it's not just the church's role to take care of the widows and the orphans. It's the believer's responsibility. So before anybody can point to a church and say, what are you doing? Oh, before there's a church, there's a believer. What are you doing? What am I doing away from church? Well, when I give to Living Way, man, we're supporting missions in Mexico, and we're doing this and all of these philanthropic efforts and all of these great things we're doing. That's great, but what are you doing when no one's watching? What do your tax returns say? Did you give something to somebody? Or maybe it's not even on a tax return. Did you stop and help somebody when they needed help? Did you give something to somebody? And so maybe you're stuck in the vain religion that verse 26 talks about. So if you're stuck in religion, you need to do everything you can to build and grow relationship, because if you really love Jesus, you'll love people. And if we really love people, we'll serve people. Got three more. Stuck in addiction. So you're stuck in addiction. An addiction is a strong dependency on a substance, an action, a lifestyle. If you're stuck in addiction, then you must now switch your dependency to Christ and Christ alone. His kingdom, his ministry. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, in the King James Version, it's the only time the word addicted is used, or any form of addiction in all of the Bible. It says, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, that they've addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. If you were ever addicted to alcohol, you should be addicted to the ministry. If you were ever addicted to drugs, you should be addicted to what God's doing, God's kingdom, God's love. Oh, come on, let somebody that used to be addicted, that knows what it's like to just change dependency. And I used to be dependent on this. I used to be focused on this. I used to roll out of bed at 3 a.m. to go buy something, snort something, drink something. But now I wake up at 3 a.m. because God's given me vision. God won't let me sleep. I used to go to the bar two or three times a week. Now I'm at church two or three times a week.